Welcome back. We are discussing the five luminous mysteries. We've already discussed the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, the wedding feast at Cana, and the proclamation of the kingdom. Now we move on to the transfiguration. Now this mystery is extraordinarily beautiful because it shows us many, many things about the apostles, the men that Jesus surrounded himself with. It shows us this movement of love toward the passion, death, and resurrection. It shows us this magnificent dedication that Christ manifests to the will of his Father. And it shows the hidden mystery. It brings it out in the forefront so we can actually see what is happening. And so this mystery, where Jesus is transfigured, he takes a few of his apostles with him, and he becomes as white as the whitest snow. He becomes glowing and radiant. And there appears those from the Old Testament surrounding him. And they're speaking together. And this is a prefiguring of his passion and death. They're speaking about what he's going to endure and for why. Why is he going to suffer this? For love. Now, Peter doesn't really understand. He wants to build tents and, you know, little tabernacles so that they can dwell there. He wanted this to continue on forever. But you see, this is the problem with mankind. We always want to satiate the emotions, the feelings. We want feel-good religions. Oh my gosh, how many are there? Every day hundreds are founded. Why? So that people can feel good about themselves. Go and feel good and sing and dance and play music and leave feeling wonderful. Well, that's just not going to cut it. It just won't cut it because, you see, just like the transfiguration, there may be that moment of great joy and the experience of this wonderful light and beauty. But remember, life itself enters back into those things, and the feelings of mankind being fickle will sometimes destroy the greatness of that moment of joy and moment of light. And Jesus showed them what was truly there. This magnificent glory of the Father is always deep within his soul. And yet, he suffered hunger. He suffered thirst. He was tired. He slept. He wept. He sweat blood. Jesus endured the same things that you and I have to suffer. He didn't promise happiness on this earth. He didn't promise that if you followed him, you could avoid the cross. He didn't say, oh, come follow me and everything will fall into your lap. Oh, you'll have all the money you need. And oh, you'll never have to worry about anything, but you've got to follow Jesus. He wasn't a Bible thumper. Jesus was God made man. He knew that we have a fallen nature and he came to show us how to rectify it, how to heal it. How to enter into it, and by way of the very sufferings that are brought upon us by mortal sin and by venial sin, he gives us the opportunity to enter in with him into his passion and death. This, my brothers and sisters, is a great gift that God has given us. When we look at this great moment of the transfiguration, we see that Jesus is teaching us that no matter what we suffer, no matter what we endure, God is there always. He said, I am in you and you are in me. He teaches us that he's closer to us than the air we breathe. And so therefore we should never allow anything to destroy that peace. Oh, happiness may come and go. The emotions may go up and they may go down. There are many reasons why the emotions go up and down and over and across and under. And it's just... it's amazing, the mind of man, how fickle it can be and how in turmoil it can be. And yet, there is something that Jesus gives to us that holds us like a rudder steers a ship, like one who guides another, will guide them to a safe path and to a safe haven. And this is what Jesus does. He shows us that no matter how difficult things may get, no matter how dark things may seem, there is always the light that is within. There is always something that we can find deep within ourselves. And that depth, that what we find, is the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus reveals to us that the Father dwells within us, the Son dwells within us, the Spirit lives within us. We have the indwelling of the Trinity within us. That means all of heaven dwells within us. The very one who created us dwells within us. The one who redeems us dwells within us. The sanctifier dwells within us. And so what should we fear? Pope John Paul II, the first words out of his mouth when he became pope was, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." And why? Because he knew. He knew that with Christ, we fear nothing. With Christ, nothing can destroy that joy which only that true faith can bring. You and I have received gift after gift after gift. And those who do not recognize this great joy within themselves, it is because they have lost their vision. They have lost the sight of Christ. They no longer look to Christ for their strength. They look to the world and to things, to lust, to honors, to greed, to passions, whatever it might be. But it never, never, ever makes us happy. Never will give us joy. Oh, momentarily perhaps. But Jesus shows us that for true peace, for true love, for true understanding, for the truth itself, we must look to the Christ within. We must find that Jesus and conform our lives to Him, not Him to us. We have to find that Jesus through Scripture. We have to find that Jesus through the 2,000-year tradition of the church. We must find that Spirit that has never stopped speaking and instructing His people and the people of God for over 2,000 years. Then we will recognize Him. Because, you know, it's easy to lose our way, to lose our vision, to lose our sight. We become blinded by the things that surround us. And then we see nothing but misery. Then we try so much to put our hope and trust in the things that surround us. And it fails us. They fail us. There is not a thing that you can buy. There is not a government on earth. There is not a person on this planet that can give us peace. Not the peace of Jesus. If we look to Christ, if we look to that kingdom, if we look to the Jesus, that hidden Jesus, we will find Him. We will find the real Jesus. And that will make us true lovers of Christ. That will make us obedient to the Father's will. For no longer will it be searching out our own pleasure, our own joy, our own wealth. No longer will we accumulate stuff and think that somehow by surrounding ourselves with things that there will be some sort of a security in it. We will recognize the world for what it is, a stepping stone to heaven. We will recognize that in that which surrounds us, we will hear the Father's voice. We will encounter Christ in the people that we encounter. We will feel the power of the Holy Spirit. But we must first conform our wills to Christ. We must form our wills in such a way that we will always seek the will of the Father first. And in the light of that truth, then we look to the things around us. And then, only then, will we see the world in proper perspective. That's what the Transfiguration does. It puts us in a proper perspective of life. It makes us look deeper than the reality that surrounds us into the reality of heaven. It makes us understand that there is a greater element here. That faith opens to us a world so far beyond our human weaknesses that it will never be understood completely. God is love, and if we truly love Him, nothing, nothing can destroy us.